cameras.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is Talking Heads.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, we're rolling whenever you're ready.
We're all set. Sound is good? Okay. So again, I'm just going to welcome you, and then we'll get started.
Okay.
Today, we're joined by Tomas Hevizi of SAP. Tomas, welcome to PrivCap today. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, David.
We're talking about something very important in private equity, the value creation process. This gets a lot of, let me start over. We're talking today about something very important in private equity, and that is the value creation process. This gets a lot of, it gets spoken about quite a bit, and yet actually doing it is, of course, the most important thing. And so with more than 100 private equity clients around the world, SAP is in a unique position to observe the different ways that GPs say that they add value and actually do add value. Can you talk a bit about the importance of GPs now having to meticulously demonstrate that they actually create value in a methodical way after the investment is done?
Absolutely. And maybe, David, I can address why SAP, a software company, is even talking about this subject. We had, for the last 12 years, a very strong focus on value creation. What are the ways businesses can generate value out of initiatives, a variety of initiatives, which are ultimately supported with technology? And we came down to three things which are very common in private equity and easy to observe. One is speed to value. Like, how fast can I get the value I'm targeting? I mean, you can take a long time for an initiative to mature. Speed to value is very important. That's probably the most important. The second concept we focus on is efficiency of value. Like, how much does it cost me in resources and time and money to get to that value in the initiative? And the third one is scale. Can I repeat this? Can I do this, what I just did in this initiative, can I do that again and again and again? In a normal commercial enterprise, it's less important, but in private equity, it's very important because private equity loves rinse and repeat. So when we look at repeatability, we believe it's very important. And there are great ways to create value in private equity, don't get me wrong. Repeatability is one end of the spectrum, and a unique deep dive and understanding the uniqueness of a business and a target is the other end of the spectrum. We think repeatability gives some de-risking of the value thesis. So when you look at certain functional initiatives like procurement, leveraged procurement, sourcing, you could look at commerce or e-commerce or multi-channel commerce, pricing initiatives. You can look at them across industries, and they are predictable steps that happen in a value creation process. So firms that are getting specialized in them and they understand how to do them again and again across sectors, across geographies, are getting very good at scale, and they keep repeating the process. A variety of things happen. Most importantly, the firm itself gets very confident within the GP and the LPs. They can convince management of the target, saying, hey, or the portfolio company, we've done this many times. We can help you through this process. We have a track record. So we can guide you, or we can provide the right resources for you internally or externally. And also very importantly, as service providers, it gives us clarity. So if we know how the firm works and what are the kinds of levers they typically pull, it's a lot easier for providers like consultants, technology partners, to help the firms win. And that's why I think repeatability and methodology is so important.
Well, let's talk on, you mentioned rinse and repeat. Let's talk about that in a bit more detail. Walk us through an aspect of value creation that is highly repeatable, or that you've seen firms kind of across different industries target. How does it work, and what are those levers of value creation that you've seen pulled?
Yeah, it's interesting. And every firm has a different style. And I'm not here to look at one style or another being more efficient or more effective, because firms make money a variety of ways and support their portfolio companies. What we have seen is certain levers are easy to use across industries or across sectors. One of them is low-cost sourcing or leveraged procurement in general. I mean, low-cost sourcing can be implemented in a single portfolio company, identify certain categories where you can analyze the business, saying, you have not taken advantage of the best pricing you can get, the best terms, we've seen better terms, and you can quickly implement a change. Cross portfolio, many firms, and one of the value that many PE firms bring to the portfolio is leveraged procurement. We have negotiated terms, or we know how to negotiate terms for certain categories. by bringing it to the portfolio companies, immediately bankable or very quickly. And we work with a lot of firms around automating that process, so the auctioning process. And you'd be surprised, I mean, there's generally a thesis that firms that invest in large portfolio companies, I mean, the portfolio companies have a very decent procurement process, and they do. Many times, we've seen this with multi-billion dollar portfolio companies, they can still take 10, 20% off in categories where they thought, hey, we probably got the best terms or best deals we could. So auctioning and identifying those savings areas is still very important. So leverage procurement and procurement in general works. And by the way, many firms go after them. The other area is commerce in general, e-commerce or multi-channel commerce. There are, especially if you think about taking a brick and mortar business online or expanding their online footprint to mobile, there's, again, predictable steps you can take. The technologies are well-defined, or processes are fairly well-defined industry by industry. So you can get you can become an expert in the topic and grow the top line, which is always the hardest. So we've seen that pricing strategy. We've seen that very well implemented repeatedly. So there are many levers. There are very unique elements of investment thesis. So definitely the firms will go after those. But wouldn't it be great if some of the things that you know are going to work, you could take off them at the table and get the benefits early in 2-3 years? That's what we're talking about.
Let's talk about the model for a portfolio company operational improvement that you've seen across the spectrum of private equity firms that you work with. How do they typically differ from each other, and sort of how would you categorize the different models for operations?
So this is a fascinating topic and very well discussed among the firms and in media and in your forums as well. We work with firms on pretty much every continent, and they are basically, the way we think about it, they are focused operating models and their generalist operating models. And both work, and they work with the style of the firm. And focus could be either a sector-focused firm that really focus on 2-3 sectors. It's very easy, to come back to the point about repeatability, to identify the typical patterns of business success early in due diligence or right afterwards, agree with management that those can be improved, and implement a mitigation plan or a joint initiative. Functionally, what we just talked about, you know, there are certain levers you can pull and you can definitely repeat them. So you can get very good at functional operational platform by hiring basically a handful of operating partners, or we've seen, or functional specialists could be on retainer. As long as you're tackling only a few areas, it's a few sectors or it's a few functional areas. As it gets, the complexity gets bigger, way too many sectors, way too many functional areas, you're basically a generalist. Mm-hmm. And then you have to see, okay, well, what can I possibly accomplish in this equation? And again, coming back to us as a provider, for us to know if we're dealing with a focused firm where they have functional specialists and they know how they go about doing procurement, or they have specialists around upstream oil and gas and they know what are the kind of levers they want to pull or look at when they look at a business, it helps us focus, and there helps the consultants to be focused. And there's something very important comes in place, which is when we collectively look at an initiative saying, should we undertake it? And we definitely are interested in firms taking on initiatives. The question of risk and credibility within the management teams and between the GPs and the management teams comes up. If something is repeatable, if you're a specialist, if you're focused on the area, you know, everybody buys in easier. Management gets comfortable. The service providers get comfortable saying, okay, well, initiative is going to succeed. We have to spend less time evaluating them. We basically compress time, which I believe ultimately what this should be all about. Generalists, I think, can come up with some very unique ideas, but they have to rely on outsiders a lot more. And eventually, coming back to my earlier point, it takes more time. You can get great experts, but you have to find them. Even if they're on a retainer, you have to bring them in-house, work on an initiative. Initiatives are less clear if it's going to be a winner, so you have to do a lot more analysis. And it's a different approach. And we've seen both work. You can do a lot more initiatives if you have a lot of focused specialists. You get to do a lot less but maybe you go after a bigger bang for the buck if you're a generalist.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can end on a bit of a deeper dive into the point you made about the speed of execution being so important. Talk a bit more about that. Why is that such an important aspect of private equity value creation? Is this not a long-term asset class, and private equity firms have years of holding time to improve a company?
You know, it's very interesting. I was talking to one of my clients, and you know, he said there's only two things you need to make money. You need cash or capital, and you need time. And basically, you have compounded interest, and you make money. And he also said you can buy cash. The cheapest thing on the planet right now is money. You cannot buy time. So when I do think speed is the most important element in the investment, I mean, we obviously, every fund is dealing with the 10 plus 2 years time frame. But what it's really about is if we start an initiative, even at the time of a 100-day plan, you basically have 2 years to get to a point where the initiative is working and it's up and running, and you need to leave some time for a course correction in case things don't work out. And there's only so many initiatives you can do, so you may want to do them back to back. And ultimately, from a private equity perspective, we want the GPs and the LPs get the benefit of that value creation and not the next buyer. So if we compress the upfront time, we know that this particular business initiative is going to work. It has worked many times. The likelihood of success is high. The management trusts the process because they've seen it elsewhere in another portfolio company. The providers can step up to the challenge and they can help out. All of a sudden, the time spent on analysis and evaluation is compressed, and we can, you know, you can do more initiatives and you can do them earlier. And then all of a sudden, the benefits that you just generated, a 10-20% return on MIRR on that initiative, going to compound to you and not to the next buyer. So I think speed is everything from an outsider perspective of private equity.
I mean, those are my questions. I think we captured quite a lot of good information. Is there something about, obviously operations is a big topic, but something about what we're talking about today, speed, the different models you've seen in private equity, that I've neglected to ask you about?
There's something very interesting is happening. And we like I mentioned earlier, we tend to work with a lot of firms around the world. And most of the innovation in private equity and in operations used to come from the US and maybe London. We're seeing emerging innovation coming from Asia. And the reason being, there are firms that almost approach their portfolio companies with a success template. It's sort of westernized business processes with a component of set of business process improvements, technology enablement. The reason they do this is a variety of reasons. One is talent. You know, they can get the same talent we can get in the Western world. But also because they believe everything we talked about, if they can start early with the portfolio company in an initiative, they can get the benefits early. That multiple that they're enjoying or are still enjoying in Asia over revenues or earnings or cash flow can accrue to them much, much faster. And I've seen operating teams of 60, 70 people doing things in Asia that most GPs cannot afford to do in the Western world. And it's fascinating what's happening there. And I think it's worth for some of the GPs to look east in this sense.
When you say Asia, are you referring primarily to China, or are there other areas where you've seen innovative operating models?
I'm primarily referring to China, and I think it's very interesting what's happening, especially given that two things are missing. One is they don't have full control, so they're doing a lot of transformational initiatives, some of the best firms, with basically a growth equity setup and partial control. And the second is they don't have leverage the same way that firms here do. So they have basically no choice but pursue some operating initiatives. So that's very interesting, sort of unique sense of the world, what's happening in operations.
I'm now going to ask you the question to that answer, and I'm going to put it at the beginning. So you don't have to answer it, but that was a good observation. You work with clients around the world. Have you seen pockets of innovation as far as how private equity firms add value coming from places other than the most mature market, which is the United States?
So I'm not answering.
Right. You already gave a great answer. Yeah, so now,
okay, great.
It makes me seem smarter to ask such a great question. Okay, I think we're done.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Is there anything you want to talk about? I know
So I mentioned to David, I'm not an energy expert. Yeah.
So it's not no snippet, no soundbite.
No. So we'll have, I mean, that's going to happen at the conference. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, our guy who's going to be there, Ken, is